When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sipple the snowflake is one old triggered soul with reading glasses sitting on his nose and takes that really blow. Sipple the snowflake deserves a mouthpiece to the face. He says LeBron's the GOAT and Steph will choke. Then he runs to his safe space.
Hey, we gotta be careful here.
He tells us when we speak. But win 10 games air in a day, he thinks that's too many. Oh, Sipple the snowflake says words like mature. He's a blogger now and an honor too, and also really old.
It must be Tuesday.
Oh.
It must be the happy hour.
Oh.
Because the dulcet tones of Mike Stibbs, the late Mike Stibbs, singing.
May he rest in power.
Singing the Steve Sipple song. Sipple the Snowflake himself joins us on the 42 Degrees The Source hotline. I don't know, that song just kind of puts me in a mellow mood.
It does, man.
Very mellow.
It's almost the midweek already when you hear it.
It is.
Yeah, the show's almost done. It's a great time.
There's something wrong with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I think you could change a few words up. Like, I have an idea. One idea is, at the end, say he's mainly really old.
He's mainly. Yeah, that's true. You were also really old 8 years ago. Now you're mainly
right.
Really old.
He's mainly really old.
Yeah.
I think that would work. That would work.
Yeah, I think if we were to redo it now, something about Super 70 sports would definitely be involved. We'd probably get rid of the NBA references and add in some Super 70s. And
Sip, are you not
Josh,
watching the NBA?
Hold on. I got to congratulate Josh before I forget. That is an amazing time.
Oh.
Are you talking about him seeing his first walk-off home run last week?
No, I'm talking about his marathon. Were you running it? Sub 7 minute miles.
Yeah, I averaged 6:23.
That's incredible.
Thank
that
you.
Incredible.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm not joking. That's serious stuff. I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. I'm not joking. I wanted to congratulate
Thank you.
You.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
That's hard work.
All right, let's get back to Boston balls. This is weird.
Now I can't even remember where we were going.
We were trying
this.
To have fun.
Yeah,
and
more ridicule now.
Yeah. Ridicule. Perfect.
Ridicule is a fun thing.
Yeah.
Should we give up on the idea, Sip, that Nebraska is going to be sneaking up on anybody this season? Getting a lot of love right now.
I don't know if – I don't – is there a lot of love right now, or are you just talking
Well, if Joel Klatt – you know, I'm sure Joel Klatt's wife, Mrs. Klatt, probably says, yeah, he gives me a whole lot of love. So.
Wow.
He gave Nebraska a whole lot of love yesterday.
Sneak up. No, I still think they could sneak up on people a little bit. But the first seven games are against a bunch of teams that they'd be trying to sneak up on everybody, too. So,
right.
It's a valid question. I don't know how to answer it except for that. By the time they play Ohio State, they probably won't be sneaking up on Ohio State.
No, I would definitely.
I guess
agree.
That's true, because they'd be in theory. Let me ask you this, Sip. We were talking about this yesterday. The first seven games, I said that if they were 4-3 or worse, that would be. What did I say? How did I describe that? Did I say alarm bells or really concerning? Disappointment.
I don't remember how you described it.
Whatever way you wanted to do it,
it was
Sip.
Negative.
Yeah, like 4-3 or worse. Like what does that? What feelings would that exude for you if that was their record going into the Ohio State game?
I mean, you'd obviously have to take me through the schedule. I don't do that thing where I sit around ruminating over the schedule. I don't. It's not time for me to do that.
He's not Joey.
I know who the first three games are.
Yeah.
They should get out of that 3-0. They really should get out of it 3-0. I'm not saying it would be an easy 3-0. Then who's next?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I actually have not memorized the schedule either as I open it up right now. I believe Purdue is in there. Yeah, so Illinois is game four at Purdue, Rutgers, idle week at Indiana. And then it goes to Ohio State.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, at Purdue, at Indiana, if you win them at all, they're going to be close is my guess.
Yeah.
So I don't 5-2. I wouldn't sound any alarms at 5-2. I'll tell you that.
Agreed.
I'm still sort of in that. You know, I'm still in the 7 wins would be a good season for Nebraska realm. So if they're 5-2 after the first 7, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, that's crazy because I think, you know, and we've talked about this. We, you know, we've been doing our annual polling. We just finished it up this past week. The phase two of our 4-phase in-season polling. And it almost seems like now that just the bare minimum of winning 6 and getting to a bowl game to at least, I don't know if I want to say most people, but certainly a healthy percentage of people.
Yes.
Would be seen as a disappointment. To which I would say, man, that's crazy because they haven't been to a bowl since 2016.
Right. Seven wins in the regular season with an 8th in a bowl, I wouldn't see that as. If they get a bowl win, I wouldn't see that as disappointing at all.
Yeah.
I'm not jumping ahead too much on this stuff. In terms of the, you know, rule getting this program going and how long it's going to take. I would be okay if they would get to 7 and win a bowl game. I think that would be progress. I do think the team's capable of 8. I wouldn't go too much further than that. The thing I've been saying, I don't know if I said it on your show or not last week. Maybe I did. There's no major issues with this team, I don't think. I don't see anything major. But there's enough minor ones that it's easy to rein myself in these conversations. There's no gaping holes. But man, there's enough to wonder about. You know, you wonder about the inexperience of quarterback. Yep. You wonder about the kind of lack of the big time running back, we'll say. The kicker and the punter, the place kicker and the punter, they're inconsistent. I mean,
yes,
that's a real issue. They have a new long snapper. They have a corner. They have one corner that it could be Jeremiah Charles. I mean, that's who I'd bet on right now. And he's never played in the Big Ten before. You never play a college game, right? There's enough little things that it's easy for me to say, you know what? Beat Illinois, you know? Let's see that before I go too far down the road. You know?
So I'll be honest, Zip, I have not watched the press conference from after the spring game, but I did see some of the quotes that came out from it, and you just mentioned, like, holes, and you brought up quarterback. And if so, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe.
Oh, no, I didn't say a hole. I didn't say a hole.
No, you said not gaping like, hole, but the youth rather. Just, you know, wondering about the youth. Yeah. Sorry, but he did bring up, or he kept the door open, I guess, for the portal at that position. If I'm to understand what he said correctly after the spring games, let me ask you this then: I wanted to ask, what is the timeline on the quarterback room in the portal in terms of us getting an answer? Or is this actually one of those situations where we might be wondering about it and, like, when will they add somebody? And then eventually the answer is no, but we're never outright told because the fall camp arrives and it's just what they have in the room right now.
The best way to answer that is what Rule said. And what he said was it really has to be the right fit. You know, you'd have to be someone who understands the parameters of what he's getting into. You know, that you have to look to see exactly what rule said, but that's, I'm going to use my own words now. You'd have to find someone who understands that they have a returning starter and they have a five-star player who, you know, who looks like the starter. Now, where would this player fit? I think Rule mentioned, you know, that could be a veteran player, or it could be a young developmental player. But it, whoever it is, they got to understand the lay of the land, and that's tough. That's a tough ask for most quarterbacks. I wouldn't expect it to happen. The only scenario I would see it happen is if one of the other guys would leave. You know, if Heinrich would have went into the portal, yeah, then it becomes pretty urgent. You got to go get somebody. And it doesn't, you don't have to be picky. And that other person, it's easier to get somebody in that situation, I guess is what I'm getting at. If one of the other guys would leave, it'd be much easier to get somebody out of the portal. As it is, it'll be difficult. You got to kind of thread a needle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you say no to somebody who's good and wants to try it. But I just don't think you'll find it, Josh, is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you need it. Is the second thing. I don't think it's necessary. So I don't expect it. And I don't expect Heinrich to leave now or next year. I think Heinrich's here for the haul. That's what I think.
Can I follow up on why you don't think they need it? Is it just because, like, I guess there's a part of me that thinks if Raiola gets hurt, like, things are going to be bad regardless, and that getting a random body to make you feel better about having four scholarship guys isn't going to fix things. Is that where your mindset is, or is it for a different reason why you don't think they need to add depth?
Here's where my mindset is. If Dylan gets hurt, I don't think they're in bad shape. If you have Harburg and Kalen, I think you can make it work and still get to a bowl game. I believe that. It's going to be Dylan.
Yeah.
It's going to be Dylan. I mean, let's just make that clear.
Yeah.
And if Dylan were to get hurt, which I half expect, you know, based on what we've seen, I wouldn't rule out a bowl game at that point at all. I don't think the season has to go south with Harburg and Kalen as the backups. I don't. I think there's enough. Harburg, I believe, has improved. I think he had to learn from last year. He has talked about not throwing as much, you know, not running as much. I do believe he's improved as a passer based on what I hear, but also what I saw. I'm a grain of salt with all of that, obviously, but I'm not that. I mean, the only way I would have gotten really worried, Josh, is if one of those guys would have left after the spring. Then you're in code red territory.
Sure.
If Nebraska did nothing or made just very minimal additions in the portal in general this offseason, would it surprise you? Would it disappoint you?
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Like I said, John, I don't think there's gaping holes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're talking about a safety, a kid from Michigan State named Magum. I can't pronounce his name. He had four interceptions from Michigan State last year. It just looks to me like that's the type of player that Rule would say, well, you're always trying to add good players. It's not a real need. You're stocked at safety, as a matter of fact. I don't know what they're going to do with safety. How are you going to make it work with Buford, Gifford, and Singleton? Singleton's going to be back. You already have three guys you feel good about. One of them's not going to be playing much. So, but that's, I guess, I'm basically illustrating that, yeah, you'll take a guy. If it's a good player, you always take a good player, no matter what. But I don't see an area where, yeah, you better go get somebody. Unless some 1,000-yard rusher would present himself this summer, you know, you go all in and try to get him, but I don't see that happening. Where else? I'd say, thinking out loud, a tackle. They need some tackle depth. If an offensive tackle would present himself in the portal, yeah, look at that. Always look at big men. That's what they say.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what Tony White would tell you. That's what Matt Rhule has said. You can't really have enough big men either side of the ball.
Hey, Sip, you wrote over the weekend about the idea of the Lincoln-Omaha divide, certainly as it pertains to recruiting and Rhule. I mean, he outright talked about it at an event that you were at recently. That's been something that we have talked about for years. It's been a topic on this show. I probably have talked about it with you, whether you're as like a guest or as a fill-in. Like, what do you make of a Nebraska football coach acknowledging it like that in a situation like that? And what could it mean moving forward?
What I make of it is Matt Rhule has an advantage over a lot of people in that he is he comes from the outside. He has a different perspective, and it's sort of more of a innocent perspective. It's this is what I've heard, and I'm going to take care of it.
Yeah,
it's not this is what I've been involved in. This is what I've neglected. I feel badly. I've neglected it. And now we're going to do something about it. It was very organic, which was good. It wasn't. Like Sean Callahan was saying earlier today, it wasn't, you know, Nebraska Youth Camp presented by First National Bank, you know, and 30 media there, and you kind of wonder why is this for the media? Is this what's this for? Is this for the kids or not? It wasn't that. It was all for the kids. It was all Matt Rhule kind of breaking down a barrier in a very, very classy is not the right word. Kind of a classy, low key way. Subtle. I mean, subtle is often very beautiful, right? Subtle beauty, beautiful. And it was that. It wasn't. I went there and I just drove up. You wouldn't even have known anything was really happening until you got within 100 feet of the school. And then, okay, wow, there's some people here.
Yeah.
And those people were, you know, most of his coaching staff and 32 of his players, which was really impressive to me. And the interaction was really impressive. And just sort of the way Rhule approaches it is impressive to me. Again, low key, just matter of fact. Yeah, we're here. I do want to break down this barrier. I'm not as in tune with that as some of the media are. I'm not. I don't know. I know some of it results from, you know, former players from the city of Omaha, you know, being very vocal about their misgivings about the program in recent years. Some of it's bad, obviously. And if this helps that's great. But Rhule has a way, I think you'd agree, of cutting through a lot of that sort of thing because of his upbeat nature. And again, he has sort of an advantage over other people.
Well, I think a lot of it is, institutional knowledge is great, but sometimes not having it is an advantage as well. And so he's not weighed down by, I mean, Scott Frost obviously would have been more in tune with it because he remembers, you know, just how the lay of the land has been. Certainly he was probably
really
getting
weighed down.
Getting some inside information while he was away about how things have been. And then of course, some of the relationships with those teammates that you referred to were teammates that he had, you know, on that team and maybe weren't getting along with. But with Matt Rhule, he's got none of that. There's none of that weighing him down. So he can walk into a place like Omaha, similar to how he walks into any other town, any other high school. And that is with the attitude of, I'm Matt Rhule, I'm representing Nebraska, and I want to sell you on the greatness of my staff and my football program.
Yeah, and he has the advantage of newness, too. I mean, it would be harder if, you know, he went 5-7 in year one. What if he throws a 5-7 in year two?
Yikes.
The next summer, that's harder to do.
100%.
Harder. Yeah, so he had some advantages. But all that aside, he did it. And it was a good scene. It was a really, like, genuine, innocent kind of, the kids loved it. I was there. The kids loved it, and it was well presented. There's a lot of interesting things about it. It was interesting to me the way Dylan Raiola stayed in the background. You know, Dylan's very, very intelligent, and he lets the older players, they're the ones that are out front.
Yeah.
You know, Dylan, it was pretty obvious to me, kind of made it a point just to, you know, hang back. Smart move. I mean, that's, he does a lot of that sort of thing that you have to, I really respect. You know, there'll be a time probably if he's here in 3 years where he would have the microphone introducing the head coach and not Elliot Brown. And, you know, it might look different. He might have more of a presence like Teddy Prochazka had this thing. It was all very interesting to watch.
Sid, before we let you go, we were talking earlier about updating the Open because it is, you know, there's some odd references in there. Mm-hmm. A text from the 402 writes, I've been suggesting I like big backs and I cannot lie as a Sip song for a while. He may even help record the lyrics.
Yeah.
I like big backs and I cannot lie.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be hard. I mean, the rest, I mean, that part of the song obviously fits, but where are we going from there is the question.
When a back walks in with the ball in your face.
Don't do it.
You get? Yeah, we have to change that lyric.
All due respect to Nick, I just put Sibs in charge of that.
Oh. Good thing he's out of town and not listening.
It's a good thing
right
he's
now.
Not here. He's uh-huh. catching a lot of strays this week, and it's not fair.
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit. It's like comparing him to John Lennon.
Yeah, Stibbs is the Beatles, and Nick is, so, I don't know, say a name
he's
of
like,
a crappy band.
Okay, yeah, like.
The Scorpions.
Like, the Scorpions. There you go. Nick Grimm is Scorpions, and he is the Beatles.
Yeah, and the Scorpions are fine.
No, they're bad.
Oh.
No, they wrote some good stuff. Nick's capable.
They're the ones who sing Hurricane,
stuff.
Right? Here I am.
Terrible song.
Rock
terrible
you
band.
Like a hurricane.
They sing a song called No One Like You.
They sing a song called No One Like You, John.
It's stupid. They're the worst.
All right.
How do you top Dibs' song? I mean,
you can't. It's perfection.
Yeah.
Yep. Every time I hear it, I kind of cringe, but I respect it.
Wasn't that created because of Christmas karaoke? Or was that created?
No, that was before. That was before.
Okay.
Yeah. And how about this? John Lennon got taken out by a guy named Mark. Stibbs
got taken out by
a guy named
Mark.
Indeed. I wonder if that guy ever read, what was the book that guy, Catcher in the Rye? He said Catcher in the Rye made him assassinate John Lennon.
Did he?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Mark David Chapman, big Catcher in the Rye guy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just thought he was a...
You ever read Catcher in the Rye, thing? Steve?
I did. It was, yeah.
Was it good?
Excellent book. I read it when I was in college. And
oh.
Incredible.
Yeah. Oh, I've never read it before. Maybe I'll read it this summer.
There you go. You're of books.
There we go. Perfect.
Sip, have a great rest of your Tuesday. It's probably close to bedtime now.
Wow.
It sometimes is. Oh my God. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we are. Have a good
Welcome
week, dude.
Back, Josh.
Hey, thank you. Good to be back. Good to talk to you again. It's Sip, I realized it today on my way in. It's football season. It's a great time.
No,
we're talking
not football
we're talking
season.
About the team.
It's May 7th.
Really
it is.
Football season.
Up here, it's football season.
No, it is not football season.
I got back from my vacation and I thought it's time to talk about football.
It's not football.
You literally left right before the spring game, yep. Which literally was football. I mean, it's barely football, but it is football.
And now it's football season.
Oh, good Lord.
No. Yep.
No, Joe Klatt is not that powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
He does love his wife, though, as John said.
Barely. Wow.
Good for them.
Good
I'm
for them.
I'm very happy for
good
them.
Good for them.
As I am happy for you, Sip.
Bye, Sip.
God bless you. Bye.
Steve Sipple of HuskerOnline.com.
It's not football season. I'm not allowed to say that. You say I'm not allowed to count down anymore. So I thought, you know what? Instead of counting down, I'm just going to skip it. And I'm going to say, it's football season. I was listening to a college football pod this morning, and I was like, something has changed.
So what game are you going to watch this weekend?
Something has changed with my brain waves, John, where my mindset was thinking.
Oh, they're actually working now?
I hope so. I hope so.
So what game are you watching this weekend?
I don't know. I can go on YouTube. I'll find an old game. By the way, how about this text from Will? No firm predictions. It's early, but where's the Grumballs? Miss them. Look at that. What a nice text from Will. He misses the Grumballs.
He misses your bad predictions?
He misses something that has like an 85% hit rate. That's still passing in college. It's like a B+. I've seen grades in college now. You get like a B for having a 78 or something. Totally fine there. Mm. And Katie writes, most Nebraska coaches treat Omaha like Western Nebraskaners do, like it's Iowa. Those folks from Wahoo, Beatrice, and West Point have been treating Omaha like it is Iowa for years. Mike Schaefer once told us.
This coaching staff doesn't.
They do not. Yeah, I would. They have changed. I remember Mike Schaefer saying one time that, like, you have to recruit Omaha almost like it is an out-of-state player.
You do.
And, you know, for a variety of reasons, that wasn't happening, and it seems like that has been fixed.
Absolutely.
At least from the football perspective, it has been fixed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, coming up next.
Mm. A new segment.
Well, it's just a rebranding.
Oh.
Of a segment that really just kind of got off to an unofficial start last week.
Wait, what? I was gone last week. What happened?
Well, there was a lot of talk on Prime last week. You know, he got in a lot of Twitter fights, and we're about to find out next why he got into Twitter fights with former players.
Mm.
Also, his son has dropped his first song.
A song?
I believe we're going to attempt to play some of this song.
We are.
Coming up in our first installment of Unsportsmanlike Conduct, Poops on Prime.
Nice.
At 1620 The Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.